inseparably identified with the common life of ordinary human beings. Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 7, verse 8, it says, who took the very nature of man. Is that not so? He identified with the common human beings. He identified with beings, human beings, so that we will be able to identify with him. That's what I said at the beginning. Jesus identified with human so that humans can identify with him. What does that mean? Jesus came not only to die for your sin. Did you get that? Why did Jesus come? He did not come only to die for your sin. He came to exemplify how to live as human being. Did you get that? What are the two reasons why Jesus came? Number one, he came to exemplify what it means to be a human being, and he came to die for my sin. Is that not so? So, but we must understand that, you know, most of the time when we think about the coming of Jesus, we are only thinking about the death on the cross, how he saved us from sin, but also Jesus lived and showed us the way we should live. Jesus, however, did not come, okay, I've said that, a perfect God became a perfect man for this, for our sake, so we can also be like him. A perfect God became what? A perfect man. So that means being a perfect human being is possible. Hello? Is it possible? It's possible if we follow and imitate Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, let's look at the negative emotions of Jesus. Who can mention one negative emotion that Jesus expressed in the Bible? Jesus was what? Angry. Was Jesus angry? When was Jesus angry? In the temple, he was angry. Is it good to be angry? Is it good to be angry? Why? For a just cause. What is just cause is relative. What is a just cause to you might not be a just cause to me. I hope you know that. So just cause is related. That means everybody can choose their just cause and be angry. Why should you be angry? Just cause is not correct, sir. Spiritual matters. Okay. Your Lord. Not your own spirit. Your Lord. So change the first one. Provoke your spirit. It's different from provoking your Lord. Do you understand that? Amen. When somebody is trying to provoke or desecrate, let's use the word desecrate, Abby, defile the Lord and defile the temple of the Lord. Now, in that text, Matthew 21, Jesus came into the temple. Is that not so? It's the temple of the Lord. And he saw that they were buying and selling. Instead of praying, instead of worshiping, they were selling things. They were doing akawo, money exchanging. They were doing a lot of things in the temple. Now, if you follow that text, you observe that Jesus took time to express his anger. Eh? Because the Bible says he took time to prepare a whip. You know, it means Jesus was not impulsive in his anger. How many of you know that now? He was not what? Impulsive. You know what it means to be impulsive? To just act. Pyah! So he watched them. Just visualize that temple in your mind. He was watching them selling. Are we? He was already what? Angry. So he went. He would have looked for camel skin or any skin and weave it. Have you seen a whip before? Koboko. How many of you have seen koboko before? Okay. I think it's being weaved. So Jesus took time to weave it, and now come and started flogging. Pia, pia, pia. He said, look at this gentle meek man. Why is he angry? Now, Jesus was angry because of the zeal of his father's house. He was angry. Now, we have two categories of people. Number one, Christians who feel, don't be angry in the house of God. Even when people they shit for church, leave them. When people handle church property anyhow, close your eye. When people fight in the church, close your eyes. People are quarreling in the church, close your eyes. People just carry books, goods, enter inside church, our pastor is preaching, they are asking you, 1,000. Just close your eyes, just leave them. They are doing their business. Everybody is doing their business. Will Jesus close his eyes? What will Jesus do? To whip them. Some of you need whipping. Praise God. So, another example of, who can give us example of in the Old Testament on somebody who got angry because of a desecration? Phineas. Numbers 25, I think so. 24-25. Phineas got angry. You know, remember the story of Balaam and Barak? You know, Balaam could not curse the Israelites because God took over. And each time he wants to curse them, he will say, rather he should bless away, bless them. At the time he told Barak that these people are blessed. They cannot be cursed. But do you know Balaam secretly advised Barak to say the only way to destroy these people is not to raise altar against them. Send your Moabite girls into their camp. And when they begin to sleep with those girls, have sex, then their God will destroy them. That is what Barak now did. Send Moabite girls. And when these Israelite men see babe, their eyes pop out, pop in, pop out. And the Bible says they began to grab. Began to grab as they were having, committing adultery and fornication against Moabite women. God broke out against the camp. And 22,000 Israelites died in a day. Then Moses gathered the people to the temple and they were weeping and crying to God for forgiveness. A man called Zimri carried a Moabite lady called Cosby. Oh, the babe. People, they cry for forgiveness. Oh, the babe. Carry passed. That's it. He passed in front of the camp and went into his father's tent and started to have sex with her. Phineas saw him and followed him with a javelin. When, as he was on top of the woman, that is how Phineas pierced the two of them to the ground, and they died. And God said, Phineas has carried out my desire. So because of that, the covenant of priesthood will not depart from his line. A man who expressed holy anger against what? Are you understanding now? So if we have to express that kind of holy anger on some of you, you would have died. But Jesus own, he not pierce them, he whip them. And somebody said, you should not flog. Did Jesus flog? Okay. That's how Jesus expressed holy anger. Another time, the Bible says Jesus was angry with the Pharisees. One time the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked for a sign from heaven. And Jesus told them, I already give you abundant signs, the miracles, the healings that you are seeing. Is it not enough sign for you? And you still ask for another sign? The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus sighed deeply in the spirit. He sighed. To sigh is not an emotional expression. He sighed deeply in the spirit. What does, when somebody sigh, what does that mean? Huh? He's disappointed. Is that not so? Talk to me now. When somebody sighs deeply, you know what it means to sigh? How does this sound, Steph? I forgot how it sounds. Because it's a long time I did that kind of thing. That is ease. What does, okay, somebody should exemplify sighing. Say, look at these people. I have been doing miracles. I have been doing a lot of things. Yet they are not satisfied. So it's an expression of displeasure over something. Okay? Four times in the New Testament, Jesus was pictured as being troubled. To be troubled is like to be worried. But it's not worrying for what to eat now. He's worried about something. Jesus was unquestionably capable of profound and deep human emotions. He expressed it openly and straightforwardly. He did not cover his emotions. When he was troubled, his disciples knew he was troubled. When he was disappointed, they knew he was disappointed. Jesus expressed grief. John 11:35. Anybody here that don't know John 11:35? John 11:35 says what? Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. So if you don't know it, you have known it today. Huh? John 11:35, Jesus wept. Jesus gave a deep sigh when he was healing the deaf man. Also in Mark chapter 7, he expressed sighing again. Jesus was capable of profound grief. Two times he cried for Jerusalem. He cried for Jerusalem. Now, he came and saw Jerusalem. And he saw how Jerusalem was, how Jerusalem was battered. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem." He made a lot of exclamation about Jerusalem. You know, when you see something that's supposed to be good, or you have heard of this thing is so good, and you now reach the place, and you are disappointed, it makes you cry. You know, that thing that made him cry over Jerusalem was deep. He wept over Jerusalem. Okay. Okay, let's look at Jesus' positive emotions. Number one of Jesus' positive emotion is when he was at the Lord's Supper, he told his disciples, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you." Now, what does that mean? I have earnestly desired. That is, it has come to pass. What was he expressing? Joy or fulfillment. Is that not so? Jesus was happy, was joyful, that he was able to eat the Passover with them. He was able to partake with them. Jesus actually hoped for this, and his hope came true. He longed for it. Desire is also an emotion. He desired it, and it came to pass. Once Jesus said he was glad. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus expressed gladness. Says, "I rejoice greatly in the spirit." Jesus expressed joy. Gladness occurs when joy expresses itself on a particular occasion. When joy expresses itself on a particular occasion, that is called gladness. So Jesus expressed gladness several times. Of all the strange circumstances under which he could express joy, this evening of his betrayal and arrest and trial, Jesus expressed joy. He knew that he was to be betrayed that evening. He knew that he would go through trial that evening. But yet, he expressed joy. So joy is not the absence of trouble, but calmness in the presence of trouble. That is joy. So that is the kind of emotion Jesus wants us to express. Another emotion, positive emotion that Jesus expressed. Go and keep all the commandments. And he said, I have been keeping it since I was a boy. Jesus loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell your possessions and give your money to the poor and come follow me. And the man threw away the love of Jesus. Some of you have been throwing away the love of Jesus because of money. Because you love possessions more than Jesus. How many of you love your money more than Jesus? Say the truth. How many of you love money more than Jesus? How many of you love your house more than Jesus? How many of you love your wife more than Jesus? How many of you love your husband more than Jesus? Somebody came to Jesus and said, Master, I want to follow you. Jesus said, you must leave father, mother, brother, sister to follow me. At the time, they came to Jesus and said, your father, your mother, and your brothers and sisters are outside waiting for you. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? They are those who hear my words and do them. So to follow Jesus, you must love him wholeheartedly. Now, let's look at we have looked at some examples of Jesus' negative emotions. I expressed them. We have looked at some examples of his positive emotions. Let's look at controlling emotional impulse. How did Jesus control his emotional impulse? According to Jesus' example, emotions are normal and typical of God's creation of humanity. True or false? Emotions, are they normal? If somebody does not have emotion at all, is that person normal?
No.
That person needs prayer. Because something is missing in his body, in his life. So emotions are normal. Jesus' emotions, however, were resident and not subject to impulse. That means it is not just things that happen that make you to express those emotions. The emotions are already there. He does not express his emotion by impulse. So what we are learning this morning is that don't be impulsive. Be calculative. Think before you act. His emotions found expression as occasion calls them out. Now, some people get angry at every little thing, true or false? Is that good? No. Even when the occasion does not call for being angry, people are gathered, they are laughing, they are joking, they are playing, they are enjoying, and you are just angry. Sometimes they ask you, why are you angry? You don't even know why you are angry. You need deliverance. If you are angry because somebody is progressing, you are representing the devil. Amen. So, if you get angry when occasion does not arise, some fathers like me get angry when their children ask them for too many things. I say some fathers like me, because I'm a father too, I also get angry. When the children, pressure can make you get angry.
Now you born there. You have to provide for them. What's it concern them? Whether there's money or not. Is that their business? But I used to tell myself, don't worry, time is coming. The way you are making this demand, time is coming. Somebody will make demand of you. And don't worry, very soon I'll make you, you will work for your money. Tell me to work. You know, it's in this our culture that children will stay with us 18, 20, 30, 40. If you have not seen a 40-year-old man still living in his father's house, then go and do your research. You will see them plenty. Are you understanding me? If it's abroad, once you are 18, you have been bolted out. In fact, in the UK, once you are 16, you are eligible to work. So yeah, we fed our children too much. They should go and work. Huh? Some of them in university should be, during holidays, they should learn mechanics. You are laughing. It is a fun and during holiday they should go and learn sewing and all that. They should know that there's dignity. Amen. Alright, let's go to emotion. Jesus got angry, but God is never mad. Do you know there's one reason I am angry and I'm mad? God does not go mad. God knows how to control. Somebody say control.
Control.
See, in anger or in any of these emotions, even excitement, if you don't control your excitement, it can lead to sin. If you don't control your joy, it can lead to sin. Amen. Control is the key thing to our emotions. Emotional control. Anger is not bad, but the ability to control the anger and to express it in what is necessary to the glory of God. That is the important thing. Amen.
Amen.
God reserves the expression of his emotion for those times when we need to know the significance of his holiness. When God expresses his emotion, it's for us to see his holiness. When Jesus got angry at the temple, what was he teaching them? What was he teaching them? Holiness. That you don't need to defile the temple of God. The temple of God must be kept holy. We do not always perceive God's various emotions, but they always are present. God is an emotional God, and all of us are emotional. The Bible strongly emphasizes that the will, when it talks about the mind, the will and the mind, they are the same thing, because the mind is the seat of the will. The spiritual mind consciously places vengeance in the hands of the Lord. The spiritual mind does not take vengeance for themselves. They place vengeance in the hands of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? A spiritual man can get angry at what somebody did, but will not want to take the vengeance at the person. We'll leave the vengeance for who?
For God.
But an unspiritual man will get angry and attack. Is that not so? Either attack with abusive words or even attack with physical blows, or even attack by pouring the person water with your car on the way. There are different types of attacks and all that. So, but a spiritual man leaves vengeance in the hands of the Lord. The mind of Christ has both negative and positive emotions. Can we say that together? The mind of Christ has both negative and positive emotions. So don't live here when we think the mind of Christ. Don't think that the mind of Christ, every of your emotion must be what? Positive. No. God put the two there for specific reasons.
Until absolute holiness consumes your entire being. Until absolute holiness consumes your entire being, you do not try to express righteous anger or holy anger. Did you get that? You cannot say, this my anger is holy, when you are not holy. Do you understand what we are saying? Because if we live here, I don't mention this point, some of you will live here, and whenever you get angry, you say it's holy anger. No anger can be holy if the person who is expressing it is not holy. It becomes a holy anger or a righteous anger when it is the vessel is holy and the cause of the anger or why it's angry is unto holiness. Apart from that, no anger is excusable. Now, what is the wisdom in handling our emotions by the examples of Jesus? Jesus, from time to time, referred to those who questioned him unnecessarily. He referred to them to the intent of God. Now, what does that mean? Why are you whipping us? Why are you scattering this place? Is it not written in the scriptures you read that my house shall be called a place of what? Prayers. But you have turned it to what? A den of robbers. So, when the question is anger, where did you refer them to? To the intention of God. And how they have distorted God's intention for his house. It is so sad that some of us will come to church and we see God's house in disarray and see people handling it anyhow and we keep quiet. Those who know me, I don't keep quiet for those kind of things. When it comes to that, this is God's thing. If you would like destroy my own personal thing, I can just get angry that you have destroyed. I can't kill you. I cannot do anything about it. But if you destroy God's property, you are disgracing God's house, I have to express only anger. Weep. If I don't have physical weep, I should have spiritual weep. When the chief priest, the scribe and the elders demanded that he identify his authority, Jesus referred them to John's baptism and God's divine purpose. They say, why are you doing this? I will also ask you, on what authority are you doing all these things? Jesus answered them, I will also ask you, on what authority did John preach? The people look at him. They say, if we say, on the authority of the devil, the people love John. They will stone us. The people will stone us. Bible says it's of God. It will validate what the man is trying to say. So they walked away. Sometimes it is only question you will use to respond to those who are asking you questions to provoke you. You know, there are some questions are meant to do what? Provoke you. They are not meant, they are not looking for a right answer. They did not ask you that question to learn. See, whenever you ask somebody question not to learn, you ask somebody question because you have a perspective about the thing and you already feel the person is doing it wrong and you are now questioning the person so that you can look for loophole, you are a Pharisee and a Sadducee. You are always sad and you cannot see far. Is that not me, a Pharisee? Far near the sea. They can't see far. Sadducees, they are always sad. Alright, the original meaning, Pharisees are teachers of the law. Sadducees are also teachers of the law, but the Sadducees believe that there's no resurrection of the dead. So that's why they are sad. Biblical wisdom is available to the uneducated person and to the educated person. Wisdom is more important than anything. you must apply wisdom in anything you face in life. Amen. Refer people to scriptures for your actions. Don't take actions by yourself. Take actions by the wisdom of the Bible. Praise God. So if you don't study the Bible, you cannot know the wisdom of the Bible. But when you study the Bible, you know the wisdom of the Bible. In fact, everything is in the Bible. How many of you know that? Every action, how to express your emotion, the right emotion, everything is in the Bible. So when you study the Word of God, it will help you to know what to do at every time. The example we have read from when Jesus destroyed that, what was his reference? The Bible. The same Old Testament that they read, that was his reference. Praise the Lord. As I conclude this message, two things. Number one, the greatest danger for those of us who want the mind of Christ is acting from impulse. If you can overcome acting from impulse, even if you are angry about something that is of the Lord and you want to act, calculate your actions and still take your actions by calculation. Amen. So, what emotions are subject to impulse? Those emotions which grip us with suddenness, and they are negative, like anger. Anger is subject to impulse, two of us. When you get angry, sometimes you have finished acting before you have seen what you have done. Does that my anger, that my action glorify God? Is God happy? The two examples of angry people in the Bible, we look at Jesus and Phineas. Was God happy? Eh? God was happy. God was glorified. Amen. The question you need to ask yourself, this anger I want to express, does it bring glory to God? The second thing you need to learn is that Christ, Jesus' life in you springs from your mental quality of sincerity. You must be sincere about what you stand for. Don't claim that you are speaking for Christ while you are looking for your personal gain. Do you understand that point? Don't say, I express it for Christ. When you express it for your personal gain. So it must be sincere. It must be real. It must be original. And it must fulfill the intent of a perfect humanity. Your spiritual growth can be measured only by Christ's relations with his Father, not your relationship with others. How do you measure your spiritual growth? By Jesus. Don't measure your spiritual growth with me. Huh? Because if you do, you might be disappointed. Did you hear that? Measure your spiritual growth with will. With Jesus Christ. Because all of us, both the pastor and everyone, must strive to be like Christ. Not to be like any human being. Don't strive to be like any human being. You can learn from people. That's why we have mentorship. Is that not so? Yes, you can learn from people. Does not mean you want to be like them. Yes, in fact, you cannot even be like anybody. Because even twins, they are not alike. They might look alike, but they are not alike. So be yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to help your emotions. Don't be impulsive. Don't be quick in taking actions. Ask yourself, does this emotion glorify God? May God help us. May God give us grace. In Jesus' name. Does Jesus have emotions? Do you have emotions? Do you have negative emotions? What is your negative emotion? Nobody's talking again. Anger. Somebody says anger. Your own. Don't say Jesus' own. What is your own? So who is lost? Lost. It can be, when we say lost, you'll be thinking that it's only women they lost after. Women also lost after men. That's how we say young guys, Don't dress up, bring your button down, showing your chest. You know, women, some women like chest. Some young guys are gymming because they want six-pack. That's what some women like. May God have mercy on those women. Because that six-pack might not be there forever. Times and season change. Praise the Lord. So cover up. Because these days, men even do fashion, bad women. Cover up. Don't wear knicker to church, short knicker. You don't know that the hair on your leg can be an attraction for a particular girl. Say, sea leg. So cover up. So that you will not arouse negative emotions. And if that person cannot control that negative emotion, it will lead the person to what? To sin. Okay, there's also lust for things. Huh? Lust for things. You see this thing, bah, you enter your eye. The lust of the eyes. You want to grab it by all means. See, how many of you here truly see a fine car? You will not admire it. Eh? Who will not admire it? That person is not alive. But you see, it's an emotion. It's an emotion. It comes. But your ability to control it. When some people now get to the point, this car, you begin to exclaim, begin to talk, begin to want to touch, you are going far. You are not controlling your emotions. Some of us have lost for TV program. Big Brother Africa. Some of you are watching Big Brother Africa. So fan more of your negative emotions. May God deliver you today. Let me say this without apology. Any child of God watching Big Brother Africa, check your Nigeria, be whether Africa or Nigeria, Big Brother Nigeria, it is not a child of God. Go and read your Bible very well. Read your Bible again. In fact, you need to be born again. You need to be delivered. Because you are encouraging sin. And some of you here know all their names. You know all those who have been evicted. You know all those who are misbehaving inside. In fact, you know your Big Brother Nigeria more than your Bible. May God deliver you.
Amen.
What happened? Hey, my God. Let me close my... Let's go back to true Christianity. And leave all this emotional Christianity. And leave all this excitement. And you go back, there's no change of life. Let's go back to the Bible. And live according to true children of God. And don't sit down and watch the children of the devil do what they know best to do. And you pay DSTV money just to watch Big Brother Africa. May God retrieve that money.